Visualize yourself on your deathbed. You lie there underneath the white sheets, draped in a hospital gown with an IV in your arm. A doctor has told you that you only have a few hours to live. Looking back on your life, do you have any regrets? When this day comes, and it will, do you want to be able to look back, smile contently, and think, "I made the most of it"? In Tibetan Buddhism, awareness of death is considered the very first step on the path to enlightenment. The point of this daunting reminder is to motivate you to drop all the trivial bullshit you spend so much time on and use your life to do something that will make you truly happy. The 11th century master Gampopa wrote, "In the beginning, you should be pursued by the fear of death like a deer escaping from a trap. In the middle, you should have nothing to regret, even if you die at this moment, like a peasant who has worked his land with care. In the end, you should be happy, like someone who has completed an immense task. The most important thing to know is that there is no time to lose, as if an arrow had hit a vital spot in your body." Wasted time. Around 49 AD, Seneca wrote a letter to his friend Paulinus entitled "The Brevity of Life." He argued that the trouble with life was not that it was so short, but that we wasted so much of it. Some people waste time trying to quench an insatiable greed, others toiling at jobs they despise. Some people destroy themselves with alcohol or drugs. Then there are fickle types hopping from one activity to another, always starting new projects but never finishing any. Others have no plans at all, and simply let fate decide their course. How much of life do we really live? Take a look at your average day. How much of it is filled with fun and joy? Think of all the chores you do, from brushing your teeth to commuting, to working, to grocery shopping, to cleaning, to errands. Fall asleep, wake up, repeat the cycle. Before you know it, the year is over, the wrinkles on your face have become more pronounced, your belly has doubled in size, and the sand in your hourglass of life continues to trickle away. Much of adult life is devoted to routine chores, and I have no foolproof solution for building more free time into your life. What I do believe is that our free time is so precious that we cannot waste it being clickbait monkeys, burrowing down into the sinkhole of internet articles and mindless television shows. Stop that nonsense now. Not only is it a waste of time, but the internet is rewiring your brain to expect instant gratification. You have lost the ability to be patient. The endless quest for the next stimulus that is going to deliver the slightest dopamine rush is no way to live your life. We must guard our time as if it were the most precious treasure. For that is exactly what life is, a rare gift between an eternity of nothingness. Oh, how lucky you are! Consider how improbable it is that you are even alive. Each and every one of us started out as one of millions of sperm cells in our father's ejaculation. That one sperm cell survived and fertilized our mother's egg. If she had been lying in a different position at the moment of climax, a different sperm cell would have crossed the finish line, and someone else would have been born. Not only that, think how fortuitous it is that our parents are human beings, when the far more likely scenario would have resulted in our being born as beetles. The odds against us ever having been born are astronomical. Yet, here we are. In order to appreciate this, one of the first meditations that young Tibetan practitioners are advised to do is to imagine being a cow. Picture yourself having four legs, being covered in dung and flies, eating grass. Mooing. After doing this, they contrast being a cow with all the freedoms you enjoy as a human. Going back and forth between imagining being a cow and imagining that they are human, they learn to bask in the good fortune of being a person. If you had been born a European peasant in the Middle Ages, the vast wisdom of Eastern philosophy and evolutionary psychology would have been unknown to you, Even if you had been born in the United States in the early 20th century, these teachings would still have been unavailable. Most people on Earth today will live lives of endless drudgery, working in factories for a few dollars a day. That is the only life they will ever know. They have no one to teach them about the freedom that is possible. They are too busy making your smartphone. If you have made it this far into the book, you probably have sufficient health and intelligence to allow you to practice meditation and commune with nature. You could have been born mentally handicapped. You could have contracted some illness that left you demented. You could have been dropped on your head as a child. There are also those who suffer from physical disabilities that don't allow them to engage in the thrilling athletic activities those of us with able bodies can enjoy. But even if you are one of these people, do not despair. Almost everyone can still benefit from sport and meditation. In the 1960s, thousands of Westerners flocked to India to meet meditation masters, braving the long journey and the inevitable Montezuma's Revenge, Himalayan version. This is what you had to do if you wanted to find yourself in the company of someone enlightened, because such sages were not to be found outside of the Asian landmass. A few centuries ago, the situation was even more dire. To get to Asia, you had to trek on foot, either your own or on the back of a large animal, over mountains, rivers, deserts, across whole continents to reach such a person. And once you arrived, you probably had no way to assess the character of these masters, whether they were wise men or charlatans. Nowadays, many of the masters from the East have traveled to the West and have trained their own Western-born students in the art of meditation. With just a bit of research, you can go and find a meditation master to give you personal instructions, locally or through Skype. How grateful we should be for the geniuses of the past. If Siddhartha Gautama, the man who would come to be known as the Buddha, had contracted pneumonia as a child and died, the path to awakening may never have been discovered. We are actually lucky that he even decided to teach what he knew. After attaining enlightenment, the Buddha debated whether or not to teach what he had learned to others. He felt that humans were too polluted by greed, ignorance, and hatred to ever recognize the path to enlightenment. He wondered if he would be wasting his time and energy explaining such esoteric concepts to people so cloaked in darkness. Luckily for all of us, his friend Sahampati convinced him that there are those out there with only a little dust in their eyes, and at least some of them would be able to understand the teachings. Remember also that the Buddha himself had teachers that taught him the preliminary meditative techniques that were being passed around the Indian subcontinent. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, even Buddha. And what of Charles Darwin? Where would our understanding of human nature be without his trip to the Galapagos? And what of the anthropologists who braved malaria and man-eating tigers and anacondas and risked getting eaten by cannibals, all to bring us the surprising truth about the natives' cheerful lives? The impossible odds against you sitting where you are right now listening to this book are too enormous to fathom. Who told you about this book's existence? What if you had never met that person? What if the printing press had never been invented hundreds of years ago? What if the comet that struck the Yucatan Peninsula 65 million years ago had a trajectory just fractions of a degree different? Dinosaurs would still roam the planet, and hairy apes like us would never have evolved. But here you are, a conscious Homo sapiens with the tools, abilities, and resources at your disposal to live in a way that is happy and healthy. Life need not be a struggle filled with worry, anxieties, anger, boredom. It is not difficult to have a body that is fit, athletic, and sexy, provided you are willing to change your diet and commit yourself to exercising. By setting aside a period of the day to meditate, you can greatly reduce stress and even bliss out to a degree you didn't previously think possible. Sadly, Most people won't make the time to do so. Don't be one of these people. Instead, have the courage to break free from the stupefying, unsatisfactory lifestyle of passive entertainment and consumerism to enjoy a richer life, the one your human body evolved for. How to feel alive. You need to embrace the fact that you are a wild animal. I want you to run through the forest barefoot and shirtless until your heart races and you are out of breath. I want you to jump through a waterfall and cool off in a natural swim hole. I want you to pick ripe berries off a tree and place them in a pretty girl's mouth. I want you to learn how to hunt, skin, and cook your own food over the campfire as you laugh with your friends until your belly aches. I want you to sing, dance, and gyrate your hips with uncontrollable passion. I want you to paint your body and consummate your lust in an erotic ritual. I want you to look up at the canopy of stars and lose yourself in the incomprehensible enormity of the universe. And meditate, my friends. You must meditate. Experience the sublime peace of the unperturbed mind, the ecstasy of jhana. And then, perhaps one day, the highest happiness of all, nirvana. But you must get started now, with the same urgency as if your hair were on fire. Remember, you are going to die. The Evening Gatha, a Zen chant. Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken. Awaken. Take heed. Do not squander your life. This concludes The Awakened Ape by Jevon Pradas. Narrated by Paul Bryan. Copyright 2016 by Jevon Pradas. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Jevon Pradas and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.